Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Deep Three podcast. I have the great honor of having a fellow American University alumni, Andre Ingram, current South Bay Laker and recently named the G League President's, Players Union, the President of Player Union, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's it.
It's newly founded?
Yeah, newly founded first year. Really excited about it.
I mean, honestly, you've been the image of the G League for the past, I would say 10 years, but recently, you've been very, I would say marketed, through.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. That's accurate.
Past due, if you ask me, hey, that's
it, yeah.
Biased, you know, but, I'm a proud AU alum. So, you know, I was following your work in the G League, and I was waiting for that. Yeah. Honestly, I thought it would come earlier, and I was like, "That, come on!" But you know how it is, Dre. Yeah. Really appreciate your time, man. And to start the podcast, I know probably everybody wants to hear about the call up, the Lakers, all this stuff. But let's get the important stuff out of the way. You know, how was your time at American University? You know, coming off from a small school, the Patriot League has gotten a lot better. You know, especially recently with CJ and Mike Muscala getting drafted.
There you go.
And they got a lot more visibility. Coming out of American University and the Patriot League, you know, coming to pro game. How was that for you? How was the time at American, and then how was the transition to pro game?
Yeah, that's a real key right there, that transition. I really enjoyed my time at American, man. I learned a lot about the game, how to play the game. I like to say that about Jeff Jones the most, in my opinion. I always had a love for a game and a passion for the game. Kind of high school kind of gives you that. College and Jeff Jones like taught me how to play like properly, like, you know, technique and, you know, just things that you would need to know to be an efficient and effective basketball player. And so I credit that a lot to my, you know, college time at AU. And I greatly enjoyed it. Like you said, I mean, it gets, you know, more publicized now, and, you know, the talent pool is getting higher and higher, as you can tell by the draft picks you mentioned. But my time there, it was competitive, man. It was great. We had teams, I think two of the years I was there, we had teams that, you know, went into the NCAA tournament and got wins. I know that our Bucknell team, and they might have got in as an at-large one of the years I was there, beat Kansas 2 years straight. It was amazing, man, to kind of follow that and, you know, kind of see that, hey, we're struggling to get over that hump to get into the NCAA tournament, but we're getting beat by good teams. So overall, man, I enjoyed my college career and, again, learning how to play the game properly. And then that transition to the pros, that was a big thing because, you know, at American, you know how it was. Like, if you were averaging, you know, 13, you were really getting it in. Like, we were running the shot clock down. You know, we weren't shooting it until it's like single digits left on the shot clock. And then when I get in the pros, and it's like, you know, I will say when I first started in the D League, now the G League, it was more of that type of college style that I played in. It was feed the ball to your big first. Let him work out, let him get doubled. Then we'll kick out to, you know, shooters and stuff like that. And I grew up in that through college. So I was fine with that and was able to excel in it. And now as I, you know, continue in the G League and the transition of the game has changed now, and it's like outside in, and I'm still fine with that. I play on the outside. So that's all right with me.
Me, but hey.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, yeah, but it was a difference. And I immediately enjoyed the pro game, not only the game, but just the lifestyle. You know, you're talking, you know, practice at 10 and then, you know, the rest of the day is mine. Like, you know, and being a disciplined guy like that, you know, was attractive to me. And also let me see the other side, though, you know, for young, undisciplined guys, how that could go the opposite way and, you know, kind of, you know, mess up your career.
Well, you know, sometimes going to a big school can be a blessing and a curse, if you ask me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think from American, where, you know, smaller campus, more like family atmosphere. But like you said, you know, you run a tight ship, you know, the academics are high. So you're required to do a lot of work. You're required to do a lot of work on the basketball floor, as we know. You know, JJ, I love JJ. He's my guy. And I think we had different experiences, by the way, because He gave me the ball a ton, and he really made me the player I am today. I'm very thankful for that. Coach Larinaga changed my shot to my freshman sophomore year, but when I transferred to AU, I just took a huge step, and JJ just fed my confidence. It was mostly, I put in the work, and then he would just feed that confidence. It's like, I'm just going to come. It was a hard year for me. Sitting out watching the NCAA team play Nova, being at 14, I was like, I just want to play a small part. Take this lead from 14 to 18, and then we beat Nova. It is what it is. We're not the same. We lose 5-6 guys, and it's a whole different ball game. But I'm very thankful to JJ for everything that's taught me, and the way he's helped my game.
For sure, man.
It's hard to describe into words how much a college coach can really affect your not your game, but your life in general. JJ and my program, I loved it, and I think that's why it was so successful, and I think that's why he's doing a great job right now at Old Dominion.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have plenty of friends, because I went to high school here in the area where a lot of my guys went to ODU. Matter of fact, one of my AAU teammates and probably one of the other better players that played with me during my time here in high school ended up going to ODU. So we have a connection there. And yeah, he's doing excellent there. The guys love him. Recruiting some guys that I train with here, have trained other kids as well. And so, yeah, he's doing some great things, man. Like you said, we probably had different experiences. He was probably a little bit meaner when he was with me. He done lightened up over the years, I've heard, But with us, man, he was just, goodness gracious. Now, I appreciated it because, I can accept that, and that, that type of coaching helps me. That's just what I'm used to. I heard as we left and my class left, he lightened up and, ended up things were still okay. Things were still, it maybe even got better for him. So I'm glad to hear that. Wish I would have got some of the lightness, but
it depends. He's the player, but that's what one thing that I noticed about him, at least in relationship with me, felt like he knew how to understand, what clicks for a player, how they
respond.
So for me, I think it was more, he saw that I'm very basketball oriented, that I like to watch extra film, that I like to put extra work in, that I want to be pro. So his approach was always more of explaining everything, you got to do this because when you do that, you're going to do this, For me, it was like, okay, clicking, boom, boom. So I think his approach was very smart. Some guys respond certain way, and I mean, with some guys he was a lot harsher, but yeah. I think that's any college coach, and to me that's one job, if you ask me, because to make your living on 18, 19, 20 year olds, who I don't want that in my life,
I don't want no parts of that, not a single part of it. Nope. You either love it or you don't. Yeah, I can't do that. Nope.
Mm-hmm. No, I love coaching, honestly. I love coaching. But it's tough, man.
Yeah.
Dre, but let's get back. So what made you stay in the G League long? That was the thing, when you signed with Lakers, why I was in the G League? A lot of my European friends were like, oh yeah, he went to America, but why is he in the G League for so long? And I'm like, so tell us, Dre, why the G League, and then for so many years?
Yeah, no, I remember us talking, even before the call up about it. But yeah, man, for me, to be honest, I can take you through the first couple to three seasons pretty clearly. For me growing up, I mean, NBA was always just a love of mine, passion of mine, dream of mine, much more so than college ball. I was never really a watcher of college basketball growing up. It was all NBA. So going even back to high school, my senior year, even my junior year, when I'm starting to, play really well and get some college attention from some, pretty big schools. I was taking these letters and, all of these, calls from coaches and kind of just pushing them to the side, not knowing how important it is to, be at a good college and be at a good school and how that can help your pro career. My thought was never about that. It was about, well, I just kind of want to win my high school state championship. Our school had never done it. That's really all I'm thinking about. And then after that, I would love to be a pro someday. It was not like college was just, it was never a thing for me. And then so funny thing is how I got to American is by the time I was ready to decide to go to a school, All the like signing periods were gone. There was only two colleges left. It was William & Mary and American. And William & Mary didn't even have a coach, so I chose American. And then when my time at American was done, like overseas was just never a thought for me. It was always the NBA. I was like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not getting drafted. I'm going straight to the D League. I'm going to sit here like 2 years. I'm going to get out of here, be an NBA. Career's done. It's all good. So first season in the D League, it was just like I told you, it was just like a joy to play pro basketball. Like I love the lifestyle of it. I love the game. It everything about it appealed to me. And I don't know if that first year was just seeing if I could do it, you know, see if I could hang with these guys. I'm on teams now with, you know, guys from these high major colleges who I, you know, saw when I was in college. I'm like, man, these guys are amazing in college. And I'm playing with them. I'm like, I'm like right here. Like I'm outclassed in any way, shape or form. So the first year was just about that, just seeing that, hey, I think I can do this. Second year was when I really started saying, okay, let's try to do something here. And I had another good season that second season. And that's when the Utah Jazz asked me to play summer league. That summer, playing summer league was probably like the first major opportunity or major deal I had to go overseas that I turned down. And it was simply just because I had always been tunnel vision to the NBA. And in my mind, my young mind back then, and the D League was the only way to do that. You asked me, fast forward to 2020, like going back, what should I have done? What could I have done? And people always ask, what kind of advice would you give younger people? Like, man, you can have dreams of the NBA and like you don't have to stay in the NBA minor leagues to do that. You can go overseas, have an excellent experience, especially early in your career, make some money, you know, because it was the D League when I first started. We were making very little. Like what we make now, it was a third of that. And that was for everybody. And I was like, man, you know, you were so close, you felt like, but yet so far, you just didn't know it at the time. So yeah, man, going back, if I'd gone overseas early in my career, like around that third season when I was about to play in D League, I think my career turns out a whole lot differently, to be honest with you. Maybe I still have the LA call-up game, but the story is a little bit different. But yeah, to answer your question, it was just one time.
Yeah. So the income part, and I wanted to ask you also how, you know, I know you have a family, so how was that decision for you actually right then and there when you turned that down and you said like, like you had to do other stuff. Like how did you manage, you know, like to also train the off season and, you know, okay, I still want to make the NBA. I still want to be a pro. Mm-hmm. Need like extra income, you know? And I know some guys go for a month here, a month there to play, but you chose to, you know, just stay faithful, you know, to keep working towards your dream. So that's another thing that I want you to touch on at some point.
Yeah. No, that after those third and fourth seasons, after my fourth season in D-League is when my wife and I had been together for a while. We had our first child then. And now, like, Vlad, to be honest with you, if at any point she was like, look, I know you have this dream of playing in the NBA, but you simply don't make enough money. So if she were to say, look, why don't you go overseas for a couple of years? So to put our family in a better position and, then you can come back all that. She never said anything like that. So not only was my tunnel vision and, you know, my mindset, just I'm going to make it to the NBA this year. It was always supported by my wife. So even with the family, she was cool with me tutoring in the off season in math and training kids and doing whatever jobs I had to do to make enough money for the family to be okay and yet still chase the dream. So she was okay with that. That's a huge part of the story that people don't know, man. If she was ever like you need to go over there, we need more money than this, then I would have had to have gone. But like I said, part of it was just a young mindset that just didn't see another way to the dream except for this way. And then you hear, you know, from NBA GMs or your G League coaches that, hey, you're close. And you believe them sometimes and sometimes you don't, and you move the politics and all that thing, you know? So I went through all that for like years. And then it became, I stopped getting overseas offers because they were like, he's never going to come. We give him offers every year. He's never going to come. So like, let's just stop. So part of like two or three of those G League years was just out of necessity because I stopped getting offers. And so, yeah, man, I mean, it was just a will and a want to, you know, make it to the NBA. And just again, in my young mind, that was the only way I saw it happening. And again, if I was giving advice to younger guys now, I would say that's not the case. In fact, it happens often. Guys go overseas and they get pulled from overseas straight to NBA rosters. Like, that can happen. So, and it happens often. So I wouldn't suggest my route to anyone, but my route was my route. And I would be lying to you, Vlad, if I said there wasn't a spiritual component to all this. Like, I keep my hands in prayer. I just do. And so many of those years when I'm coming back, I'm like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? Like, this is year 7, this is year 8, this is year 9. Like, are you sure? And, you know, and you need help with that, man. Like, so I always tell you this, this would be the main point of all of this. At some point you come to where you have to make a decision. I'm either going to play in this league for the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year, or I'm going to do something else. And every time I got to the point, frustration, I'm going to do something else. Something came that got me back this way and just had me to keep going. You know, that is the honest truth. So, you know, and whether it was somebody else's encouraging story, and I'm not talking about sports, I'm talking about actors, entertainers who got their break late. And I'm happening to see all of these and these messages as I'm about to make this decision. Every time I got to a decision point, it was go back here, keep after it. You're going to get there. That's what it was, man.
Well, I think if we can take some stuff from your story is, like you were saying, the beginning was just staying in the present. You know, you were just happy to be there. And I think I know a lot of players that do that, you know, the opposite way, you know, when they come overseas or whatever, like, oh, this is not good. That's not good. This is not good. And they kill themselves mentally, you know, for you.
Yeah.
Just a happy attitude. I'm like, I'm just happy to be here. You know, like, let's get to work and I'll just do my best, you know, to chase my dream. And I think that's right there. And again, just that hard work pays off. I think you described it like you're tutoring, you're training kids extra, like in the off season, and training yourself to get a call up. So I think that's amazing. You know, the amount of work that goes in, that's huge for kids to understand. Especially young kids nowadays, you know, we live in a highlight culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I want to do that. You know, I want to dunk like Zion. I want to shoot like LaMelo, whatever it is. You know, like, kids are,
they want it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Dad, but they don't see the hours of work. Like, James doesn't dribble like this because he came and just started working the game, you know? So to me, that's just some story, like some part of the story that can really, you know, can really take. But let's get now the call up. Everybody saw the videos. I get chills when I watch the videos.
It's crazy, man.
It's amazing. You know, first of all, what was the feeling that, you know, when you got in the office and all that stuff? You know, what was the feeling, and then what was going through your mind? Because I'm sure like 1,000 thoughts are just raced once.
You know, the crazy part is that season was like the first one I had spent completely away from my family. Our girls had just gotten school age. So my wife suggested, hey, let us stay back here in Richmond and you go to California. And play your season, and then we'll try to see you when we can, stuff like that. So we're at the end of our season, and Vlad, I'm ready to get home to see them. I've missed them all season. So my flight is booked. Like, flight is booked to come home. Yeah, that's like, all of this is happening, man. Like, you weren't lying when you said a lot was going on then. So I got my flight ready to go home. I'm happy to see them again, you know, had a good season. So we go to the exit interview. I've done 10 of them already. What's another one? You know, I ain't thinking nothing special. And you get in that meeting and they say, well, I'm sorry, you know, that we had to push back your meeting, but it's because you're getting the call up. And I'm like, you know, like you said, like, I don't know what to say to that. Like, that's kind of the reaction. If you see it, it's like a laugh and like a, you know, I don't know, you know, what can I say? I was excited about going home. Now I can't, but it's a great reason why I can't, you know? So, they tell me to call my wife while I'm there. She's freaking out when, you know, they say, you know, when I tell her what's going on, she reacted like I was really feeling inside. She yelling and screaming. My mom's yelling and screaming. It was a great feeling. But to be honest with you, the athlete in us, like, my first thought when they said this was, well, our season ended 4 days ago in the playoffs, and I haven't touched a basketball since. Like, so my first thought was, man, this is great, but I ain't touched a ball in like 4 days. So like, I have to go downstairs and like get some shots up or something, you know? So that was really like, it was, all right, I'm happy, but I have to go do something because I ain't got the feel of a ball yet. So that's exactly what it was, man. Call my mom, call my wife, and let them know what was going on. But then it was like, oh shoot, I you know, I can't have this moment and not, you know, prepare something for it. So I have to go. And, you know, because the game was the next day.
Yeah. So how was it, you know, after, you know, how was it the mindset, the shift of mindset from you, oh, I'm going home, my family, to, yeah, you know, I probably got the biggest game of my life tomorrow. You know, it's like my first NBA game. You know, how was that shift shift for you? You know, you had to shift quick, and clearly you did a great job of doing that. So how'd you go about that process?
I will say Magic helped a lot with that, man, because he told me during that time, you know, I'm a family man, Vlad. I like flirt first. I'm a family guy. And so when Magic said, hey, we're going to send your family out here, we're going to fly them out here, don't worry about nothing, we're going to get them out here. And so that helped my mindset greatly, because now I'm able to focus 100% on the game tomorrow. Like, you know, the feeling and that, you know, happiness and just elation. Yeah, that came when they told me, hey, you're being called up, you can play the last two games with us. But then, like I said, like the athlete takes over. Like, what do I need to do to prepare to get ready for tomorrow, to make the absolute most of these two games? Because in my head, like every athlete, like I'm like my head is thinking, like, if I take care of these two games, then, you know, then next season we can, you know, be on the training camp roster and we can go from there. So we got to get this right. So like, you know, the joy and the elation, that was great. But now it's like, we have to do what we do. Like, this is our work. And now we have to get into that and prepare ourselves. So that my mind just went straight to that. It didn't have time to go to, dang, I'm going to be out with my family again for another how many days? Like, it didn't go to that. It didn't have to go there. And if it was something besides playing your first NBA game, it probably would have went there. But I didn't have to think about it like that, man. It went straight to, you know, focusing on your task. Who we playing against? Okay, who they got? Okay, who are we guarding? Like, you know, all it went to all of that, you know, and that's how you want to be. I still feel like that's the right reaction to be as successful as you can, man, each and every day, not just, you know, your first NBA game. But I just reverted back to who I was and, you know, and who I am, and, you know, the rest happened, so.
Yeah, absolutely. It worked out great, honestly. So it was, again, you know, you just stay in the present. You know, once Magic solved the problem, you just, you know, you went back to just taking care of business. What was it, you know, difference-wise between playing the G League and playing the NBA? Mm-hmm. You know, what were some of the difference that you noticed, you know, in the game? Or you probably just had a shoot around or two with a team, but especially... Yeah. What was the differences, like the major difference that you felt like that was there as far as playing basketball, not organizational, but just playing basketball between, you know, the G League and the NBA?
Yeah. And you're right. Like, all it was shoot arounds, no practice. So the one thing I can't speak on is the game part and what I felt was different. I would say speed of the game and style of play was the same G League, NBA. That part wasn't too much of an adjustment. But the size and athleticism, that's number one, and the strength, number two. Like, those were the two glaring things to me. G League, you can get away with, you know, 6'7" center. You can get away with it. 6'5", you know, four man. You can get away with that in the G League. And, you know, some of those guys end up like they're very, very good G League players, you know, the 6'5", four men that, you know, are just, you know, running by all the other four men and popping, and other true bigs can't get out to them, stuff like that. That was probably the two biggest differences. Size, you know, the size was a great difference, and the strength was a great distance. I got a difference. I got hit on the screen pretty hard. And I'm like, you know, I love like, you know, fighting over top of the screens, getting through them. This one hurt. I was like, man, this one hurt. This one felt a bit different, man. I forgot who set the screen. It might have been Nene or something, but it hurt getting through that screen. So, yeah, those were the two glaring things that I would say different. But, you know, I was thankful for all those years in the G League, man, because you know, the speed and style of play, all that felt the same. That was that, you know, that part didn't feel different at all.
Yeah, I think that's some of the big adjustments that I see from you know, from European players or guys that play in Europe going to the NBA. You know, is sometimes might be the pace of the game. You know, in the EuroLeague, it's clearly not as fast paced. But I watched a few G League games, and I was like, okay, this is sometimes even faster than the NBA. I'm like, oh my god,
it's really fast, yeah.
So, but I can see the, you know, the size and athleticism. That's a huge difference in the NBA and any other league in the world. Not just, yeah. It's just, and I think it's a difference that we see at the Olympics for, you know, the USA team versus everybody else, you know, size and athleticism compared to also with the skill and stuff like that. But that's, clearly that's huge. I think that was, it's similar to me that, since you mentioned that too, us, whenever I played at American, it felt like, you know, playing American versus like a Pittsburgh. We play, you know, like their 3-man was not 6'10", was their 3-man was 6'10", and
you know, right,
11'7", and our I was like, okay, that's you know, like the point guard is like 6'3".
Like, yeah, there you go.
It was Brad, you know, like I played against Brad Wanamaker in high school.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we played them, you know, my senior year. They were number one nation at Pitt. And it was the same thing, you know, like we had a freshman point guard, you know, like,
man,
you know, like it was my feet. And then you have Brad, like Brad just has been this strong since high school.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He looks like that too. Like he's had that body forever. Yeah. He looked like one of them type guys.
I'm like, oh, there you go. That's it. You know, that's the number one nation. And, you know, it's huge. It's huge. The different size and athleticism. And it can make up for a lot of things, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely can.
I just want to touch base about the president of the newly founded union. I think that's a great accomplishment. I think that speaks a lot about your character, your will, your work over the time, the G League. And I think they couldn't have picked a better guy, if you ask me. What's on the agenda right now? I know everything's up in the air. So what's really on your agenda right now?
Yeah, no, I am honored to do this because, you know, kind of having an understanding of kind of what the guys would like in our league, what we want. The other thing is, like, this position is perfect for me. It's all about helping the players. Like, I love it. Like, I couldn't have a better title and still be able to play. I'm excited about it to get going, to get started. Like you mentioned though, like I think I told you earlier, like really we're not doing anything until, you know, we know if we're able to have a season. You know, the rise in cases has, you know, greatly affected us. I would have said for sure we would have had something going at the end of this coming month or, you know, start of 2021. It does seem like it's a bit up in jeopardy now, but any and all say that we get, you know, from the guys I've talked to, I talked to David Stockton, the vice president, John Stockton's son. Like I talked to, you know, some of my teammates from South Bay. Like we all want to play, you know, the guys want to play. So, whatever influence I can have in that's number one on agenda right now for us to, you know, play, you know, if we have any sort of say in it. Our league is different. Our logistics and travel and stuff, we're commercial. So we're in, you know, we routinely see the public. There is no chartered flights. There is no, you know, privacy in that way. So it presents challenges for us. They do have, you know, we've been playing in Vegas to showcase the last few years, and that's something that we may can use. And, you know, I hear that could be a possibility, but other than that, man, that's just number one on the agenda to make sure we play, if at any time. And once that happens, then it shifts to, you know, we just want to be honest with you, Vlad, like we got so many people in the G League who played overseas in really good leagues, and they experience that and how not just the on-court things are, but the off-court things and all the things that you get to enjoy. And that's not our league at all, you know, and like it should be, you know, at least our guys feel like, wait, it should be. It should be better accommodations for us, you know, on the road, in our home markets, off the court. It's mainly off the court things. Obviously, salary is always a big thing. Always, always, always. Like I told you, when I started in D League to now, it's gotten much better. and still yet and still far behind the best of other leagues outside of the NBA. And that's what we're trying to get to. If we're going to sell this thing like the, you know, like one of the top leagues outside of the NBA, well, the other top leagues outside of the NBA, the leagues you play in, like they look a bit better than ours do on a lot of levels. When the on-court part is exactly the same. So, you know, we want to catch those things up. So yeah, salaries and benefits and all those things. But first and foremost, we want to get a season going.
Got you. And I was actually going to ask you about that. As far as the G League, I've always seen a lot of potential in it. Like I told you before we started recording this, I've thought about it. I'm still thinking about it, maybe for the end of my career, but know if there's going to be a chance for it. I've always been intrigued by it, by the of it. And I think it's going to be very tough to compete with the EuroLeague, EuroCup, or with the Spain, Germany's, teams and competitions that can offer six figures and more net easily, you know, from
easily
7th, 8th, 11th, 12th team in the league. I think there's a chance you can compete with some other countries that are like, you know, smaller competitions, you know, to put it up there, you know, to put up there and compete up there. And I know you mentioned this a little bit. So is that one of the goals of the G League, you think, in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years to grow this league and not just be a farm league, but kind of just establish itself? Well, okay, we can get call-ups and that's great. You know, we're going to make a lot of money. We're going to reach our, but I can also play home, you know, because I think a lot of guys, either vets in the EuroLeague or rookies that, you know, might have EuroLeague offers, a EuroCup, and they might be like, okay, you know, I can play in the G League for 1 year because, you know, money is not, you know, the benefits, the exposure, the off the court branding, stuff like that can grow, I think, with the G League. You know, there's opportunity there. So is that one of the goals for the G League?
That is definitely one of the goals. That's spot on, Vlad. Like, to be, so when I came in, no one would dream about spending more than a season, two or three seasons tops in the D League, G League, you know, and we want to change that, that it could be a standalone league. Like you said, like, we want people 5-10 years from now. And even they're starting something, I will say this, with the Ignite team, that young team. They have a new G League team, the Ignite team, which is basically the top high school prospects. And they're gathering them together for that year that they would have to sit out before going to the NBA anyway or declaring for the draft. And that's one of the ways they're trying to do things. But to be honest with you, Vlad, I'm like you, the rookies and the vets in the Euro leagues and things like that. Like, we want our league to be seen as one where it's a standalone, like that, you know, you would be proud and honored to stay home and play in this league and, you know, be able to net the amount of money you need, like to support a family, that I can play in this league multiple years. I can be home. I can still chase the dream. Like, all of these things still in play. I can be, you know, have NBA GM see me every single day, every single practice, like all the benefits that would bring somebody here anyway. And then add that to, well, this league could stand on its own if I never made it there. Like, you know, that's the goal of it. That's exactly the goal of, you know, what we're trying to do here. And, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, are young guys in our league now don't know what it was like, you know, 10 years ago and stuff when I started. And I don't want them to. Like, somebody asked me, like, what's one of my goals? It's like for them to never think that what I started in even existed. You know, like, that's like one of the goals for, you know, what we're trying to do here, especially when you look down the road in the next 5 to 10 years. Like, that's an excellent goal for us. It's spot on.
Awesome. And I know you mentioned the Ignite team, and to me, it's two things that start like spinning my mind when I heard about it. And the second one was like the ball, LeVar Ball had his own league and stuff like that, whatever it was. To me, I don't know, I kind of feel like it's good to have it, but I feel like it should have its own competition. In some ways, if you're going to keep this one and done rule, I would just, you know, make 4, 5, 6 teams like this where they can compete against each other and they have their own schedule, because so these kids, they need their possible first round picks or second round picks, right? So, okay, that way you can just kind of, you know, make their own schedule, get their weights in, get their individual skill work, and they have good games. And clearly they have no interest in going to college, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like that way they can kind of differentiate between the G League becoming its own and, this where G League is its own league, and then, okay.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
The call-ups, and then the farm league will kind of become this young and up-and-coming league, but I know that can be hard with the NCAA. But as long as it's one and done rule, which I personally don't like a ton, but it's going to be very tough. It's very tough to manage for everybody, I think, and especially for you guys. Who owns the G League teams? Who sponsors them? Because the jerseys are a lot of people maybe seen pictures. They watched, especially my European followers. They probably have not watched a lot of or a full game, let's say, of G League. They usually watch highlights, the draft guys, the call ups. They get some marketing and promotion, and you see it that way. And the jerseys are different, the arenas are different. So who owns the G League team, and how does that sponsorship come into play versus when you have the Lakers or the Knicks, or is one big owner that has everything under his umbrella? Is it the same with the G League team?
Yeah, same way. No, we have our own, president, GM, like front office and things like that. The sponsors, at least for us, we have the same, sponsor that you're going to see on the Lakers jersey, things like that. I'm not sure if that's like that for every team, so some of the things aren't uniform, like other team experiences. You might have a completely different experience and setup with the South Bay Lakers and the LA Lakers organization, or if you're with the Atlanta Hawks in College Park, I couldn't comment on the other teams. I can tell you how ours work. And, the Buss family is all throughout. Our president is Joey Buss. And so, that whole ownership from the top down, I mean, it's the LA Lakers. And then I will say, man, they are especially the turn from the D to the G League, like that. Those are two different leagues to me. Like when I started in and what I'm in now, those are two different leagues. D League was a lot more separation. G League is a lot more like this, especially the Lakers organization. So, we have one umbrella under it all, and we are included in that umbrella, which is great for us and great for your prospects as, trying to be an NBA player. And I think more teams are like that as well. The other sponsors and things like that, for us, it's one and the same, but I'm not too sure about the other teams, to be honest with you. So that is something that's something that can affect your experience as a G League player, to be honest with you. So
because I know when you started, though, I think the D League was very different, right? Each team, mm-hmm. and they were like all over the country. And I feel like now I don't know if all the teams are like affiliated to an NBA team, or at least like probably 90% of them, I think, from last
year. It is like 7% one-to-one, ownership, and then, farm team. But yeah, D-League was not that. No, not at all. You had guys like connected with teams on other sides of the country. I had no idea what was going on. Yeah, I started in Utah, and we were the Utah Flash affiliated with the Jazz and the Boston Celtics, however that worked, in multiple teams. And up until about 2 years ago, there were still some teams represented by multiple teams, and some NBA teams that didn't have a G League team, period. So that part was kind of confusing too. But yeah, I think all but one team maybe have, that one-to-one connection, which is huge, man, if you're really trying to do this league the right way. So yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah, it's clearly getting there. Honestly, I don't think it's very far from either, becoming a fully owned zone or just a really, really full farm type. Where they grow their players and somewhat like a European academy, type thing. But also, it would be great if, like you said, the salary go and they go up, and then they can bring some vets. Because I think the identity is still in the works, if you ask me, as far as the league. It's like, because I think a lot of, like I said, a lot of yearly guys and a lot of, even some of my friends that I played against, I play with, like, oh yeah, it's like, I would love to go back home at like 31, 32, I made my money overseas, and now I can come back and, end my career home. Because, you know, most of us have kids, have families that are back there. So
it
makes it difficult for a lot of guys. I know a lot of guys wish that. So it could be a good blend of experience and, you know, rookies or younger guys.
Exactly right. Yeah, which is kind of the mentorship you want anyway. That's kind of what you want. Yeah.
And now that you did mention mentorship, how has that grown for you with time? Clearly, becoming a vet in the G League is somewhat unheard of now, but experience, you went from D League to G League and, you know, the co-op and everything, but how, you know, how are you able to be a leader, you know, to those teams, knowing that you might have a bunch of new teammates next year or, you know, to help guys that are fresh out of college over and over again?
Yeah. No, it's a great responsibility is how I see it. And an obligation. Like there were, I would say those first years where I was chasing a dream, chasing a dream, chasing a dream. Like mentorship was not on my mind. Like the dream was on my mind. I wasn't thinking about, you know, trying to help this guy. And not that I was ever a selfish teammate. That's not what I mean. But now you're right. Like as the years have gone on, like seasons 8, 9, 10, like, and I will give our head coach Kobe Carl a lot of credit for this. For he kind of just made me mentor. Like he's like, hey, you got questions, go to Dre. Hey, you got, look, need anything, need, you know, struggling with something, go to Dre. Ask him how he handled it. Like, you know, and because I've always been a player, man. Like I've always like, what do I need to do to get myself ready to go, ready to play and ready to do the best I can? And Kobe Carl kind of shifted that to, okay, how can you do that for yourself? But it's your obligation to do that for these younger guys because they don't know any better. And I never saw it like that. I was always a player kind of focused on my thing. I never saw that as a responsibility to me until he, you know, broke that down to me. And it made a lot of sense. And now I gladly welcome that. It's a joy to be able to, when you have the attention of younger guys, you got an obligation to make sure you give them some good stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Like, you know, guys expect, especially the younger guys, they expect, you know, aid and assistance from me in their struggles along the way. And I'm glad to offer it to them, man. And at the same time, still show them that, hey, while I'm aiding and assisting you, while I'm helping you, like I'm helping myself too. Like I'm still working. I'm still doing this. So even when you get to this point, you're still going to have to help others and you're still going to have to help yourself. Like this, it's just more on the plate, but there's something about giving that gives you more energy yourself. So the, you know, soon as things turn from mentoring and kind of teaching these young guys the ropes and the ways of the G League, the ways of professional basketball on and off, it's given me more juice to do what I do. It didn't drain me at all. It hasn't drained me in not one bit. That's just how giving works. That's just how, you know, serving works. You give and you just get more for yourself. And that's how it's been for me. It's an honor. It really is to have the attention, to have the ear of these younger guys. When you have the ear of people, you got a responsibility to give them good things, man. And so I've been enjoying that part of this part of my career.
Awesome. That's really good stuff right there. I think for a lot of guys that are making the transition, I've made a transition about the same as you. You know, probably in the beginning, I was more focused on myself and then slowly became more of a leader. Never really been a vocal leader. Now I'm trying to be a little bit more of that. So it's all, you know, a transition we're all going through, I think. Like you said, you know, when you come out of college, it's like, we're chasing my dream, whatever that is. You know, and then with time, it's, you know, as the dust settles, it's like, okay, you learn more and more. Dre, you know, thank you so much. This has been one of my favorite episodes, I think, and hopefully for my followers too, because it's been absolutely great to hear your story, you know, to hear the way you think things through. And, you know, I'm excited to follow you as a player, but also as the president of the union. There's some things that are great coming up for you guys. Just hope, you know, there's going to be a season for you guys, because that's just tough around the world. Canceled left and right. You playing bubbles, tournaments. You know, it's a very difficult year, and it's important to just get some games under the belt. And like you said, exactly. You and all your teammates and colleagues are hungry to play. And I think all basketball players are hungry to play at this point. But thank you so much, Dre. I really appreciate your time. And I look forward to keep following your career.
Vlad, no problem, man. Yeah, please keep up with me and let me know what's going on. And the best to you with this podcast, man. So I will be a glad attendee from here on out with all you else you bring on the show and whatnot. So I appreciate you, man. This is excellent. AU alum to AU alum.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah.